they got to go away because we got to talk about Florist, which is a band that's not a florist. It's a people. It's like four people. Dear listeners, welcome back. I know it sounds like we just left you, but we're back again with a brand new episode of the show that talks about stuff on purpose. It's Trapo. Right.
Coming live to your ear pod.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Kai.
And we're back with a brand new edition of everybody's favorite format. It's good, great, or garbage. We can't stop. And today, we're going to grace you, dear listener, with a little music from a band called Florist. And the name of this album from Florist, you'll never guess what it's called. It's called Florist. It's a self-titled album. You can't believe it, but it's true. It's Florist by Florist. From Florist. I don't understand why they named their band Florist. We can't undo it. We can't undo Florist.
It's just, it's out there. It's too late. Cat's out of the bag.
It's too late. This thing just came up. Oh, what's this? Florist. All right. I started listening to him like, hey, this is interesting. And so I look him up. Apparently this is their fourth album. I didn't know that. It's their self-titled album, but it's their fourth album.
Sometimes I think that's also when a band finds themselves. If they make a self-titled album and it's like their third or fourth album, it's usually not bad.
Right.
I don't know that I've heard a lot of them that were, I was like, they waited this long to make a self-titled album. Maybe they should have waited a little longer.
I mean, Weezer makes a self-titled album every 2 or 3 years.
I'm pretty sure.
They won't stop making self-titled albums, no matter how badly we want them to.
Because it's confusing after you make more than one.
Blue, green, red, they got like white or silver. I think it's like Pokemon now, like Pokemon games.
Yeah.
It's weird. We don't need Florist Blue, okay? We don't need that. We can just make something else. But yeah, I had no familiarity with Florist before this came out. I still haven't heard anything else from them. I would be interested in going back and listening to some of their catalog now, but I haven't done it yet. I guess the idea behind this record, the band rented a house in like the Hudson Valley up in New York. They had a house with a screened-in porch. They set up all their equipment on the porch. And they would just make music whenever they could fit it into their daily routines. It was very improvisational, very loose. Because of that, there's a lot of, it's the creative DNA with Caroline.
Yeah, there's what I was thinking about as you said that.
I mean, Caroline, if you listen to their tracks, I mean, their interludes that are pretty short and their interludes that are in a forest that are relatively short, although half of the tracks, I think over half the tracks of Florist or what they would call the interludes as opposed to the full songs. Some of them were like 40 seconds. Some of them were just over a minute. A trilogy of songs called Bells. They're right. About bells. Be real, they're about bells. We got wind chimes. We got some kind of weird sci-fi bell shit going on. I don't know. We got a whole bunch of relaxing songs that are almost more sketches than actual full-fledged musical compositions. But between that, we have real music, songs with full lyrics. Some of them have full band accompaniment. You get full percussion, you get a guitar in there. Sometimes the only music you hear, like you hear guitar, an acoustic guitar and crickets. Sometimes you hear rain, like duet for guitar and rain, I think it's called. The thing I find compelling about the music and appealing, it's very loose, it's very improvisational. It's spontaneous. It's difficult to really put into words, but the way the music exists in this album.
Duet for Two Eyes was one of my favorite titles.
Right.
Only for somebody and it's not you, so back the fuck up.
I think the band would prefer people to listen to this as a complete album rather than just listening to a few tracks here and there. It's made to be listened to as kind of a continuum.
Fluid.
I mean, look, some of these songs, a lot of them just cut off the end. And so it's not like the songs bleed into each other. It's not made like that, but each track is its own world. And some of them are long, some of them are short. Sometimes you hear background chatter, creaks and groans of the furniture. You'll hear people just talking. You'll hear crickets. You'll hear rain. Thank you. It's not perfect, but it wasn't made to be perfect. You can feel the process of making the music while you're listening to it. It's a collaboration. You can tell listening to this music that these are four friends who know each other very well, and they just want to make something. They want to create something. The cool thing about the music as it stands in the album, there are meditations on grief. It understands that everything's transitory. Life doesn't last. Nothing lasts forever. But that's not a bad thing. There's also joy in the music. I heard June 9th Nighttime. I heard that relaxing guitar and the crickets. Right off the bat, I was transported. This is something special, beautiful and relaxing and interesting. And then I listened to the rest of the album. The next track is Redbird Part 2. I don't know if there's a Redbird Part 1 in a previous record. I don't know.
That also kind of reminded me of Caroline, the way that it was titled. I was like, well, what the fuck does that mean? Is there a second one that we're missing out on?
That's the second track on the album. This song, it just unzipped me. I'm listening to her sing those gentle lyrics. The beginning of the song, she's clearly singing about her own birth. The doctor comes out and tells her father that he's got a daughter. She sings like, I don't know if I could ever love someone like that.
So comes another year now. Did you ever even think we'd both be back here looking out at this beautiful place, seeing nothing but the glow of memory and a void in our vision where she would be.
I mean, her mother died in 2017. The last Forest album, it was technically a solo album, but Emily Sprague made that album. It's called Emily Alone in 2019, and she made it to help deal with her own grief. But in this song in particular, there's so much pain. The wonderful thing about the song is that it illustrates her father is shouldering that burden with her. They have these shared memories of her mother. They're alone together. And then you have that one uplifting moment at the end when she sings,
I can hear you singing still.
She's telling that to her father. That really fucked me up. That hits me hard. I'm like, all right, you win. Okay, I'm going to sit here in my chair and cry for 5 minutes. Thank you for that. Basically, every time she starts singing, there's something either very morbid or very sad. She juxtaposes it with these moments of uplifting transcendence. And it's all part of her journey. If you think of her as a human being, she made Emily Alone alone. That album was made by herself, and she wallowed in grief, basically. And this album, she comes together back with her band, with her best friends in the whole world. And it's kind of a recovery from grief. Organs drone. The whole band joins in this kind of refrain saying, do not say goodbye.
Do not say goodbye.
It's very life-affirming. I was not expecting to be really emotionally smacked in the head by this music. She's singing about death and sadness and loss and pain. Oh boy. The culmination for me is River's Bed.
That was That's, the other one I had written down.
It's like a dirge, like a funeral dirge almost. There's a lot of very dark imagery in that song. Comfort comes from no one. Comfort knows no one. It's always the darkest things I keep inside my thoughts. It is a meditation on death, but it's not just death. It's change, like the inevitability of change. This imagery that brings back these echoes of baptism.
And it's not a bad life. Take me to your riverbed. Hold me down just long enough till colors rush my head, till the sounds leave my head.
Yeah, man. I called it the high water mark of the album. I think it's beautiful. I think it's painful. It's bittersweet. Once again, I don't feel like it wallows in grief. It almost feels like you're just coming to terms with it and trying to put it in a greater perspective in terms of existence as a whole. Life goes on. Someone you love dies. So what do you do? you grieve. You have to keep the part of that person alive inside of yourself while you just try to live. You can't just wallow in the pain and the sorrow. Ultimately, that's what the album is about. Making this music was cathartic. It was a beautiful experience for all of them. That's really great. That's a wonderful thing. And plus, the music's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, the album is not a suffocating blanket of misery. I'm glad it wasn't that. It's a recognition of the human condition. It's patient. And it kind of asks patience out of the listener. But I think if you invest yourself in it, if you're patient with the music, if you allow yourself to let the music happen to you, it will enrich your life to some degree. Death happens, people die, but love can endure. And I don't know, I was really taken aback by this whole thing. I was very pleasantly surprised. That's it. That's all I got.
Florist by florist from florist. Is this good, great, or garbage?
I literally don't know your opinion on this at all. You barely said a fucking word. I want to know, do you have anything to say about it?
No, I listened to it, but I also need to have a caveat. I tried to listen to it like 5 times. One time I didn't even get the first song started. 3 times I got interrupted, and I never really got to dive into it and absorb it. For some reason, this is the album that we had mentioned that I just never really got to thoroughly examine the way I wanted to, because some shit always happened. And I enjoyed it, but I didn't have any strong feelings. I really liked River's Bed and Organ's Drone. So yeah, without thoroughly examining it, I would say it's good, but I don't know that I would say it's great. But it could be. It didn't blow my socks off, so I'm not calling it great. But it didn't suck either. I enjoyed it. So how the fuck do you feel?
I think it's a little better than great. I thought it was fucking fantastic. So yes, it's great. I think Forest is great. Forest by Forest from Florist is great. It made my
You wouldn't if I said it.
I would. I mean, if you told me to cut it out, I would. Otherwise, I might keep it in. You can tell me to cut something out. It's fine. I'll cut it out. But if you don't, it's fair fucking Just so you know.
Oh, I've noticed there a couple times. I'm like, you motherfucker.
To be fair, most of the shit I keep in embarrasses myself.
It's
mostly just for me. I try to protect your reputation, kind. Look, I'm a good boy.
Okay, so does that mean we're going to do this one for a poll too?
I don't want to mixtape this because I like too much of it.
Yeah, and I don't know enough of it to be able to pick.
So I guess, dear listener, the final decision as to whether or not Florist by Florist winds up in the Trepo Essentials canon is up to you, okay? By the time this episode goes live, we're giving you 1 week to vote on the poll on the official Trepo blog. That's treposhow.blogspot.com. You'll find it. Vote on the poll.
Tell us what you think.
Leave us a comment on the blog. Tell us what you think about it. We want your feedback. Just in general. So go to treposhow.blogspot.com. Tell us what you think about the episode. Tell us what you think about the show. Give us suggestions for future episodes. Yeah, have a party. It's fine.
You didn't know this. You can email us. I know it's kind of antiquated, but you can email us at traposhow@gmail.com and tell us how you really feel in as many words as you'd like about whatever the fuck it is you feel like. We just want to know that you're out there and you're alive and you're doing okay. Or not. If you're not doing okay, you can email us too.
We'll start a prayer circle.
At worst, we'll listen. We won't talk shit.
We're decent human beings. We're not going to fuck you over.
We may not like your opinions.
But it doesn't mean that we hate you. It just means we probably hate you. Tell us we're the worst motherfuckers in the world. It's fine. You know what? We're done, so get the fuck off the internet. We're done. Bye. Bye.
We're done. Bye. Bye.
Trapo, the show that talks about stuff on purpose, is a Fenderman Incorporated production.